Hey, this is Tim from Cullamunda Church of Christ, and today I hope that this podcast blesses you. If you are wanting to know anything more about our beautiful church, why don't you hop online and head to our website at cullamunda.church.
I'm going to read the scripture this morning that's on the screen. I'm going to stand and you read. It's from Matthew chapter 7, and it says this. It says, therefore, this is Jesus speaking. It says, therefore, when you say there, when you read therefore in the Bible, what do? Find out what is it there for? When you see the word therefore, why is it there for? It's therefore because Jesus is just finishing his sermon. If you ever want to hear a great sermon that's better than the Cullamunda podcast, I'll tell you, it's this sermon. Jesus preached a sermon that is famously known as the Sermon on the Mount, and he preached it for three chapters, and he finishes with this, and this is how he concludes his sermon. So this is how we're going to start ours. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, he says, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. That word there, foolish, is where we get our word moron from. It's like a moron. It's true. Who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. My name's Brad, if I haven't met you. I have one of the pastors here, and it's great to serve here at Cullamunda. Got some exciting things. Going to announce something exciting during my sermon too this morning. But we're in this series that I kicked off last week called The Bestseller. The Bestseller, because the Bible is the most published and distributed book in the world. It's in the Guinness Book of Records. It holds the record. It is the bestseller every year. And we don't want it just to be a bestseller in the world. We want it to be a bestseller in our hearts. And we want to come back to God's word. We want to be a church that has a, as we finished last week, has a healthy appetite for God's word. And that's really what my heart is as a pastor here, is that we are based on the word of God, and that there is a hunger for the word. And I know one day I'll have to stand before God and give an account for my ministry and my service, and it has to come back to being based on the word of God, not on popular opinion, not on people, not on opinions, but on God's word. And I take that pretty seriously. I actually feel that in my heart. Why is the Bible important? As one guy once said to me, a great preacher, he said, this is Jesus in print. You can see Jesus on every page, and it is not to get information, it is to get a transformation in your life. And when I read this, it's a relationship with Jesus. I would say the stronger you have a relationship with the Bible should mean your stronger relationship with God. Now, not always, because there are many people that can quote scriptures, many people that know their Bibles inside and out. Jesus even said to the Pharisees, hey, you search the scriptures and you think that in them you could find eternal life, but here am I right in front of you. So if this book doesn't lead you to Jesus, it'll lead you to religion. And so don't be a religious person. We don't want religion around here. That stuff stinks, amen? It leads you to an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's the purpose of this book. A few things just to recap on. The Bible is the revelation of who God is. This is the most reliable source on the planet to tell us who God is, his character, the meaning and purpose of life. It is inspired, as we said last week, by God, but written by man. And the goal is not information for your life, but revelation in your heart. It is also great for instruction and guidance, like a compass when you are lost. You feel lost. I went to boarding school as a kid, and I was so glad at boarding school. I took along with me, I was a secret agent Christian. You ever been a secret agent? No one knew but me. But I was a Christian, and I hid my little Gideon's Bible. The Gideons would go around and distribute Bibles, and I got mine in year 7. I hid that in my boarding school room. And when I felt lost, I would pull that thing out and go to the Psalms. When I felt lonely, and I'd go to the Psalms and read, and I would have a relationship with God that was real in my heart, and it gave me guidance. It is the absolute source of truth. In a day and age where truth is relative, we have the reliable truth of God's word, and you can trust it for your life. It is spiritual nourishment, as we said. It is like food for your soul. It's like food for your soul. It's like that one person that said, you know, he came up to the preacher was preaching and he said, you know, I just don't really remember what you preach about. I don't remember your sermons. And he said, you know, it was like, and the preacher was like, you don't remember all my sermons? Man, I put a lot of effort into that. But he said, it's a bit like this. It's a bit like, how old are you now? And he says, oh, I'm 35 years old. And he goes, and you're fit and healthy? He goes, yeah. He says, can you remember every meal that your mother made you? He goes, oh, no, but you knew you had your food, didn't you? You knew you're healthy. And the sign is not remembering everything and having to be stuck. A healthy Christian is feeding on God's word regularly like food in your life. And you have to have an appetite for that. And that's why we kicked off last week is because we're going to be going into some new series. And it's like that. It's that you won't remember everything, but you will remember that you were fed and that you were healthy and that you got the food you need. Anyway, I shared a story last week about when God healed Skye's back and that degenerative bone disease. And that healing came from us really getting a history in God's word, a private history. And what I mean by that is it was that Proverbs in chapter 3, verse 9, about fearing the Lord and shunning evil, bringing health to your body, nourishment to your bones. And the reason I just bring that up again is this week as I was thinking about it, I was like, I can go back to parts of the Bible and it is like going to a place where I've got a personal history with Jesus. It's an intimacy thing. It's not that I go back and that was the word in black and white. It was Jesus in print relating to me. And there are other parts of the Bible that I can think of and I can go back to and over the course of my life so far. And I think, man, how God met me in that word. And that's why this book is like no other. It is alive and active. It is the breath of God is on it. And when you can go and build a private history of reading the word and meditating on the word, and you build this history of intimacy with Jesus. And it's powerful for your life and it builds a foundation that you can rely on. Now, in this text that we've got here in Matthew chapter 7, we've got two builders. Notice these two builders, one's wise and one's foolish. Notice they both were doing the same thing. They were both building a house, probably the same house. They both also came against the same conditions, the same circumstances. Jesus said the wind blew, the streams rose. Like there was a violent storm that came against what they were building. The only difference between the two builders is one chose, and there was a choice, to build on rock for the foundation, and one chose to build on sand. One was built to last, and one wasn't. The difference between being built to last is your foundation. Have you heard that saying, built different? Apparently that's more of a younger person saying. Built different, what does it mean? I'm actually serious. What does it mean? Is it like if someone's built different, it means that they're talented, unique, gifted in one area? Yeah. It's like they've got this and that. They're built different. Well, Christianity, we should be built different. And it comes back to the foundation of what you're building on. Is it rock or is it sand? And I love this way Jesus does this because it's a powerful thing to ask the question, and every parable will give you a question to ask for your life. And the question he's saying here is, what are you building your life on? Because every life will experience storms. Jesus said, in this world you will have beer and Skittles. He didn't say that. He said, in this world you'll have trouble. But take heart, he said, I've overcome the world. But hey, storms are guaranteed. I heard the story about a real rich guy who was very rich. And he had this guy that worked for him for years. He was a builder and he'd worked for him for like 30, 40 years. And the guy, you know, he'd been pretty good worker. And he said to him, mate, I want you to do one last job for me. I know you're going to finish up soon. He says, I want you to build a house in such and such a location. And he said, okay, no worries. So he went and he said, this is the budget. And it was like quite a big budget. And the guy thought about it. You know, I've worked for this guy for years. I've you know, blood, sweat and tears. And I haven't really made a lot of money. So what he did was he just cut costs on the house. And he built this house and he cut corners. And he used like lesser grade materials, and he, you can tell I'm not a builder, the language I'm using, but he used like substandard stuff, and he used all things, and he cut costs, because the guy said, here's the budget, I'm going to give you the money anyway, and he just made sure he made a good little profit out of building this last house, and he was so proud of himself. Anyway, the time came, and he's finished the house, and he's got the keys, and he took the boss through, and the boss looks around, and he couldn't see anything. He couldn't see what was wrong. It looked great on the outside. And then they got to the front door and the boss goes, well, his name was Bob, let's say. He says, Bob, you've been a great worker for me for so long. I just want to give you these keys. This is your house. This is my gift to you. And every night that Bob would go to sleep, as he would hear the leaking in the roof, that when the winds blew and he would hear the area, he would have to live in what he built. I'm here to tell you this morning, you are living now in the foundation. I am living now in the foundation of what I am building. And we will live in it in the future. If you're not building on this rock, if you're not building on the rock of Jesus, on the gospel, on the word of God, you'll be going to sleep at night going, why am I building with lesser grade things? See, everybody builds on something. You may be building your life on money. See, notice what Jesus said. He said, build on the rock. He chose to build on its foundation on the rock, not a rock. See, there's many rocks that you can build on. Your rock could be money. It's the foundation of my life. Your rock could be image. Your rock could be pleasure. Your rock could be things that you go back to. Your rock could be those things that you run to, that you escape to. And Jesus is challenging us and saying, if you don't build your life on the rock of my word, you will not be built to last. Amen? Life is not storm-free, but you can build a life that is storm-proof. And that is what Jesus is saying. That's what he's saying. You can go through storms, but when your foundation is set, when your foundation is set on Jesus, on his word, you will go through storms different than other people go through storms. And people often, you can tell how somebody's relationship with God is very clearly by how they go through storms. And that's not a judgment or condemnation, because I have had some storms that I haven't gone through. They've gone through me and they've knocked me over and they've knocked me down. And I've had to go, man, where is my foundation? Is it getting back to God's word? I think of a man called Noah in the Old Testament. I love Noah. In a time where there were no Bibles, no podcasts, no preachers, he could hear God's word. Noah heard God and God said, hey, Noah, I want you to build me a massive boat, this massive ark. I want you to build it in a time that has never seen rain. People didn't know even what rain was. And Noah, I want you to hear my voice. And Noah heard his voice. And for over 100 years, Noah built this ark. And for 100 years, he's getting ridiculed. And the world around him would ridicule him. And think about that. Think about the world going, what are you doing, Noah? You think you've heard from God and you're building this boat? There's not even any water around. You look stupid. And some people look at your life when you start building on this and you say, you what? You give money to a church, to a God that you cannot see? Are you crazy? But you're building on a foundation that they don't know about. You pray, you worship, you come every Sunday, you give to this thing, you do that, you love your wife as Christ loved the church, your house is different, you pray, you say, thanks for this food, God, we put you first, you serve God, and you're building something that's going to last, because the world is not going to last, amen? But we can build on God's word like Noah. He kept building. As they ridiculed, he kept building. And there came a day when the storm came. And when that storm came, Noah and his family got into the ark. God closed the door, and you could just imagine every other person outside as the storm came and the water rises. If you could see that ark when it landed, I believe you could see the scratch marks of so many people going, regret, regret. I wish I had listened to Noah. I wish it, because he was a preacher of repentance. He was telling, turn back to God, and all these scratch marks all around the ark of people saying, it's too late. I didn't get in. But hey, I'm here this morning to tell you, if you've got breath in your body, it's not too late to start building your life on this word and get back to building it on Jesus. And Noah and his family. And I, as a dad, I'm convicted of that. It gives a conviction in my life that I want my family saved. I want my family saved. I don't have grandkids yet, of course, but I want my grandkids and great-grandkids. I want to leave a legacy of Jesus. I want to leave a legacy where they come to know Jesus, where they serve God, and I want them to be in that ark. And I know it comes back. Dad, are you going to build your life on this book or not? That's the challenge that God gives us today. Are we going to build it on His word or on the world? There is only one rock that will last, and it's called the Rock of Ages, Jesus Christ. Let's just go for a minute back to this scripture. What did Jesus mean in this context? And like I said, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you've got to read it. Is Jesus preaching a sermon? And he doesn't hold back, and he preaches a sermon known as the Sermon on the Mount about the Beatitudes, about blessed are those who are poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn. He preached a sermon about murder, and he said, you've heard it said, you shall not murder, but I say, if you have hate in your heart to your brother, your sister, you've murdered. He talked about sexual purity. He talked about adultery. He said, hey, you might not have gone out and committed the act. He says, but if you even, when you look at another person with lust in your heart and that lust gives birth to sin in your mind, he says, you've already committed adultery. He, if you want to know what it means to build your life on his words, go back and read these three chapters and go, man, that's what he's saying. He talked about divorce. He talked about going the second mile. He talked about loving your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is what he creates this massive sermon, how to pray. He says what praying is. He says what fasting is, what giving is. He even talks about worry and anxiety. Gee, imagine if it was so relevant at that time. How relevant is it today, his words in our life? And then he concludes and says, hey, if you hear these words of mine and you do them, you put them into practice, you're wise and you're going to build a life. You're going to build a life that is unshakable. Unshakable. Two things here, really. Two things, he says, is the difference between the two builders. Is you hear God's word and do God's word, like Noah. You hear it and obey it. You hear it and do it. And I want to encourage us in how to engage in this way of hearing and doing God's word. Because if you truly get God's word in your life, you will discover that your life will give birth to things that you cannot give birth to. Jesus says this parable in another gospel. I'm not going to go there, but Luke chapter 6, and it's verse 46 to 49. Luke, and he says this same, but before he says this parable in that one, he says that many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name? Did I not do that? But it's the challenge that he's giving is you heard it, but you didn't do it. You know it, but it didn't change your life. You didn't act upon my word. And when I think about how God's word will give birth to things in your life, I think about how when Sky was going into... I never asked permission for these stories. Is it okay if I share this one? Okay. Nah, she's cool. I'm sure I've said this one before. I remember the birth of our three children, all were the same in terms of getting induced, induction. You know what inducing is? They put this jungle juice up, right? And it was really interesting the first time because, like, they put the juice up and they get a drip and it goes in. And then, and I was like just amazed at how quick things start progressing. And then a contraction comes and then another contraction and boom. But when I was watching it, I thought, man, that's an awesome sermon. Sky probably didn't think that. But I was in awe because as it goes in, like bit by bit, as it drip feeds, something's coming and the contractions get shorter. And it's, I just thought, man, we need to be induced with God's word and it gives birth to the things in our life that God likes. You can steal that. You can use that at youth team anytime. Feel free. Not really. But it's so true. It's so true. If you will just hear and obey, it is like the contractions. Hear and obey. And another contraction comes. Another contraction comes. And you're getting closer to seeing the fruit and the evidence of what God can do in your life, not you. So number one, I think I've got four short points. Number one, here we go. Write these down. Number one, you have to hear the word. It starts with hearing. That is going in and getting the drip on. Faith, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, by hearing. By hearing, that's how it comes. It starts in your ears. And so I want to challenge you that this morning, if you've got an area of your life that you're not experiencing God's transforming power, you need to find it in this book. You need to find the promise. You need to find the truth because Jesus said this. He said, the knowledge of the truth will set you free. It's only the truth that you know in your heart that you've received, heard and taken in that can give freedom in that area of your life. That's why we've got to get into this book because, man, you discover new freedoms that God has got for you when you know the truth and the truth will set you free. Let me ask you, what are you doing to ensure you hear his word in a world that is so loud? this world is so loud, and there's things like reading the Bible is one way to hear it. I'm not much of a reader. You might be like me. I hated reading. Actually, I used to read the start of my textbook and the end of my textbook at high school, and that really explains my grades. But I remember I did accounting in year 11, TEE back then, and I was like, I'm going to be an accountant. Oh, man. And I thought, I'm going to be an accountant. And me and he was the best man at my wedding, AJ, and like we both did it together, and we had this accounting firm. We're going to start. We had this idea. The only thing was we got to term 4, and we both said, you know what, we really should have bought a textbook, hey? Like, we're the only ones in the class. No joke, that's a true story. We got a textbook in the last term, and we both failed. And so, but you've really got to get into a place where you can hear God's word, and reading is one way, but I listen. I love listening, putting my earphones in and listening to the Word of God, listening to devotions, listening to anointed preaching, listening to podcasts, listening to things. Coming to church is a way to hear God's Word. In community is a way to hear God's Word with people around you. So important who is speaking into your life. Amen? And so we can hear God's Word in different ways. The most important thing is, though, that you are just have ears to hear. Notice Jesus always said that. Hey, he who has ears to hear. Everyone's like, what else are they for? I mean, they're not to smell, but he meant your spiritual ears open. And that's why going forward this year, part of our vision is extending our staff team, extending our staff so that we can be moving more from a crowd into community. And you would have known recently we advertised for a role for like a volunteer coordinator, somebody to help with our volunteering, with our groups, with our connect groups. And we put that online. We had some applications and interviews. And then we went back to it and we actually morphed the role a bit more and made it a bit really honed in on how we can focus in on community in this church. And so it's with great pleasure that I'm about to announce who that we're appointing to staff, who will be in the office this Tuesday. And we're going to get her up and pray for her in a moment, but I just want to just let you know that so this role is going to be 1.5 days a week, and so we bring on staff paid role, and I'm so excited to announce that Katie Calloway is going to be coming on. Could you come forward, Katie, and come on up. And we're going to pray over Katie, and she's going to join our team, but part of her heart, and Katie's been here a similar time to me, really 2.5 years nearly, and love the way you just applied and the way you came, and your heart for this house is so evident. And that's what I really want to encourage you. Katie's heart for this place is pure and true, and we're really excited about what she's going to bring to the church. So in her volunteer capacity, I'll say a bit more, but first I just want to say, what are you excited about?
There's lots of things I'm excited for, but as Brad's really been talking for quite some time about community and discipleship and how to do that. For me, I guess, especially applying for this role, volunteering and that kind of stuff is great, and there's always going to be a need, but the purpose of volunteering is to have community and to see people's spiritual giftings activated and working in the kingdom of God, and that to me is what I'm really excited about. And how can we grow that? So not only are we active here in the church, but how is it going to show up in our families, in our schools, in our homes, in our town? And that's what I'm really excited about.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, yeah. Isn't that great? And Katie comes with a wealth of experience in counselling and things like that, but also you've worked in churches before, yeah?
Yeah. So my husband is American. We met and got married here and then did about a 10-year stint, or just short of, in the US. And so when I was over there, I was a children's pastor. I came back here and then I did all sorts of things at a church, including administrative, event coordinating, children's, youth, all sorts of things. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And so whilst Katie is in a pastoral role, she's in a facilitating and leadership role. And so all things in our Connect ministry from, I love what you said in your application, how you said you would love to see people move from engaged to established. And that's part of what we put in the job description, is that how then pathways happen. So if you're part of this church and you are like, how do I go deeper in community? and you've been coming along for a bit, Katie's the one to start talking to. There'll be lots more said and lots more happening, and she's got some wonderful ideas and some fresh ideas, which are going to be exciting. But I just want to point her out to you, keep her in your prayers, and when it comes to things, community, connection, connect groups, our ministry, getting things off the ground, we're really looking forward to Katie helping in that area. So would you pray for Katie with me? Father, we just thank you for Katie. We thank you for her heart to serve you. And as she has expressed, her heart to see people flourish in you, Lord, to find their sweet spot, to find, Father, their giftings and callings. So, Lord, as she resources, facilitates, as she guides and champions this area of the church, we pray your anointing upon her, your blessing over her, your protection over her and Chad, and we just bless them, their marriage, and we just thank you for their heart to serve in this capacity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Thanks, Katie. Thank you. Yeah, fantastic. So we need to be hearing God's word, and there are different ways to do that. The question is, have you got ears to hear? Number two is we need to, another way to engage in God's word, like Jesus is saying, and in hearing, is to meditate on God's word. I love Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It's been a life verse of mine. Again, I can go back in time and sit with Joshua 1, verse 8, and I can remember the time I sat there, and I can remember God speaking into my heart. He said, just don't let my word, Brad, depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Going through a hard time, I thought, I've got to change the meditation of my heart. See, meditate is a really cool word. Some people think it's quite New Agey, but it's Bible Agey. Meditate is worry in reverse. It's the right kind of worry. You know, when you roll over in your mind the same thing over and over and you worry, that you're just meditating, but you're doing it in the wrong direction. God wants you to meditate on His Word, meditate in His Word, roll it over. The word even means to mutter to oneself. Like when I'm in the car on my own, it looks like I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to myself. I'm speaking God's promises. I'm meditating on it. And it's such a powerful thing to meditate in it day and night. That's why we're, at times I've had to put verses, put scriptures in places where I see them so that I think about it and think about it. Why don't you this week, let's do that. Let's make it a challenge. Let's find a promise from God and maybe hide it in your wife or husband's workplace somewhere. And I don't know. Make sure it's a nice verse though, not a nasty one. Meditation is a powerful thing. The psalmist said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Don't you love that? I've hidden your word in my heart. See, this book will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. But when you meditate in this, it is a guardrail. If you get up in the morning and fill your mind and heart with God's word first, you will be less inclined to have the will of the flesh come upon you for that day. Because you're feeding your spirit first, which needs the nourishment before your flesh. And suddenly the temptation gets less because the word is high in your life. And so you meditate on it day and night. I'm not a big fan of going on airplanes. I think they go too high. I don't know about you, but I don't see why they can just stay a bit lower. It's a lot. It just does not make sense to me. And anyway, I remember I was on one flight and I was just like freaking out. And you look around and everything you look at gives you reasons to get anxious. Like you see kids screaming. You see people. I watch people's knuckles. And like if they look like an experienced flyer and they've got the white knuckle thing going on, and they look like they've been on there a lot, I'm freaking out, like, man, something's going to go wrong here. Like, they're doing this all the time. I just don't like it, but I remember one flight I was on, and I just was meditating on a quote. Now, it wasn't a Bible verse, but it was Smith Wigglesworth quote. And he said this, I will not be moved by what I see. I will not be moved by what I feel, but I'll be moved by what I believe, and I believe God. So as the turbulence goes and your tummy's going up and down, like, I'm not moved by what I feel. As you see the things around you, not looking good, as you look at it, you're like, is that smoke on the wing? Like, seriously? And I'm not moved by what I see and what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. And I just believe, even if we do crash, I won't die. I don't know. That's something like that. But what I was doing, I was just meditating on this scripture, meditating. And you know what? In life, you will have turbulent times. You will go up and you will go down. Your bank balance will go up and it will go down. Your blood pressure will go up and it will go down. The friends will go up and they'll go down. Lots of things will happen. But it's what you're meditating on that will keep you through the storm of life. And Jesus says, meditate on my word. Let it be in your heart and meditate on it. The third way to engage in God's word that I've got here is to confess God's word, to speak God's word. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth. It's one thing to own a Bible, it's another to speak the Bible out loud. There's power in the words of God's words coming out of your mouth. claiming them, believing them, speaking them. What did Jesus do in the wilderness when the devil came against him and tempted him? The first thing out of his mouth, the first thing was not anything else but "It is written." He had the Bible hidden in his heart. Even Jesus, if Jesus, the Son of God, had to get the word in his heart and speak it out of his mouth, how much more you and me that we need to be speaking when temptation comes? Well, it is written. It is written. And I love how Jesus just fought him with that. When Jericho's walls were going to keep God's people out of their promise, and there are walls that will try and hold you back from your promise, the walls didn't respond to just meditation. The walls didn't respond just to hearing God's word. It was when they spoke out loud the praises of God. They obeyed his word and they spoke it. And walls respond to words of faith. I've discovered that in my life. That if I can speak what God's word says, even though the circumstances don't agree with it, I get to line up with God's word and see it before I see it. That's a whole nother sermon. I love that. And the last point is that, I'll finish on this one, is that the word, which is very obvious, you know, is to act on the word, in doing the word, that you may be able to do. Jesus said, the wise person hears it and they put it into practice. I love that. I love how he uses the word "put it into practice," because he's not looking for perfect people or perfect Christians. He's not looking for your whole life to be so in the word that I know I've just everything's like no. No, he's looking for you to get a lifestyle of God's word in your life, put it into practice. And sometimes you fall over, sometimes you stumble, and the Bible says though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up again. And so you put it into practice. And I love that the practice, it's like, you know, you don't just rock up on the footy field and go, I'm ready to play. You go to training. You rock up at training first. And once you go through the training, it says, put my word, make it like training in your life. Imagine if you were committed to my word as much as we're committed to that sport, Brad. Imagine if you're committed to my word as much as you're committed to that hobby. Put it into practice. And as you do, you will notice that it comes to pass in your life. So do it. I love what James says. He said, don't just be hearers of the word only, but do what it says. He says, if you only hear the word, you deceive yourself. And so every Sunday, there are people in churches all over the world who go away deceived, walk away deceived because they hear it, but they don't put it in the practice. And God says, I want you to be a person that does my word. I love that quote that says, if you resist the mundane, you will miss the miraculous. And we often see like a cricketer make an amazing catch, one-handed catch, and they're like, that is amazing. How did he catch that ball? That was miraculous. And if you went and asked him, he'd go, well, it goes back to all the mundane practice that I did bit by bit, little by little by little, that happened. I didn't resist the mundane. And you might think, oh, the Bible's mundane. No, I want to encourage you, get an appetite for it and start to get it in your life like food. And it might seem mundane, but every day it's not mundane just to eat another meal, is it? See it like your food. It's like, oh, I've got to have lunch again? Really? I've just got to have God's word again in my heart. So I'm going to pray for us this morning. But as we act on God's word and do God's word, that's where things really happen. That's where we see the change. That's where it changes in our life. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never responded to Jesus. You've never said yes to Jesus to ask him into your life to forgive you of your sin. That's the first step. That's the first doing of God's word. That's the whole goal of the gospel, is that you would say yes to Jesus. And if you've never done that, we always like to give an opportunity for you to do that this morning, to pray a prayer to say yes to Jesus. So I'm going to pray. Would you bow with me? And we just like it to be natural as anything around here. It's just normal for people to give their hearts to Jesus, because it's the most wonderful, wisest decision anyone could make. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, Father, I thank you for every person here this morning. We thank you for your word this morning. And we thank you for your promises in your word. We thank you for the promise of eternal life for all that would repent of their sin and say yes to you. Say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. And right now, if that's you, while every head is bowed and eyes closed, if you would say, Brad, I'm here and I have never done that. I've never given my life to Jesus. Never asked him to come and forgive my sin. And I want to do it this morning. And if you'd like to join me in that prayer, would you raise your hand so I know who wants to join me for the first time? If you just say, that's me, and I'm not, don't do that to embarrass you. I just do to raise your hand to say, hey, I want to acknowledge you, and I'd love to encourage you. If there's anybody at all that would say, yep, that's me, Brad, give me a wave and I'll see it and get you to put it down. All right, let's all stand together, and I'm going to pray a blessing over us. Father, as we stand and we just want to worship you, I just want to thank you for this morning. Just want to pray, Father, as we continue to fellowship together, as we go out to the grazing table, Lord, we thank you for that food. We pray that we receive it to our bodies. We thank you for the hands that have prepared it, and we give you all the glory for it, Lord. And we just pray that you would continue to move amongst your people in conversations, in meetings, and just as we fellowship together, that you'll continue to have your way. We thank you, Father, that the service doesn't finish when we leave. It just begins as we go out those doors to be your witnesses in this world. And everyone said, amen, amen.